Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about hindrances to following our purpose now. And again, our purpose now is to be one with God. And in our spirit, we already are. He's given us already everything we need for life and godliness. Here, now, so we can enjoy the process of learning what we're here to learn. Because He has made us able to receive. By giving us a new spirit, we can now unconditionally receive what He unconditionally gives us. So when we look at how we're doing in that field, how achieving our purpose, being one with Him, with looking at not only what our goal is, but what's keeping us from that. If God has done all this wonderful preparation and He's in control of our circumstances and our spirit has been enlivened and we are now one with Him, why are we still struggling? Why isn't our life what we want it to be, expect it to be? Well, these hindrances, and they're by no means do we cover every hindrance, but we seem to cover a lot. And if we could just even just give it, you know, deal with the hindrances we're talking about, we'd be much farther along to receiving the fullness of life that God wants us to have. And we know He wants us to have it just by example of Jesus Christ, who was embodied, who embodied the Father. And that's what we're looking at. How, when we think of ourselves, are we still struggling with even having the confidence that we're hearing Him clearly? Let's just even start there. Are you confident that you're hearing Him clearly? Let alone going beyond that and walking in the power and the authority that comes with being spirit, soul, and body one. Think of that. If you were united, spirit, soul, and body, His life would flow unhindered to you and through you. And there would be an obvious effect on this fallen world, starting with your little circle. Now, there might be good consequences to that and bad consequences, but that's for a whole other show. But let's just start with the least invasive to our circumstances. Nobody else has to know, just you yourself. This is, are you confident that you are hearing Him clearly? And we can start, what is He saying? What are you hearing? If it's condemnation, there's two voices that speak to the sheep, the shepherd and the butcher. Is He lifting you up? Is the voice you're hearing encouraging, loving, accepting, thing and directing, but all from love? Or is that voice you're hearing condemning, pointing out your mistakes? How many times you screwed up that you'll never be able to achieve anything? It's too late, or you made too many mistakes. Guess what? That's not from God. Now, we've talked before about our enemies, and we've talked about that we have three main enemies: the world system, our own self-life, our self that has gotten used to doing things its own way. So your soul has created a lot of crutches and a lot of tools and even a lot of prisons that it uses to control what happens to it. So your soul needs to be healed and freed. In the process, your soul can be an enemy. The beliefs and those tools and the crutches are an enemy of the freedom that your soul is destined for, was created for. Then also we have an enemy that was created to be an enemy, which is Satan and his demons or little buddies. And we've talked, again, just a reminder, let's stop being so concerned about our terminology regarding these things. They exist, and we need to learn how to deal with them and not be afraid of them or bogged down by theology. We are often so afraid of dealing with anything, any of our enemies, that we, again, going back to that confidence, that we have such little confidence that we would be able to deal with them that we don't even try to draw attention. We don't want to get close to God because that might draw the attention of our enemies. Well, we need to get over that for our own sake. Remember, God doesn't need your help in doing with what he's doing in the world, in your family, in your work situation, your business, whatever. He doesn't need your help. He's going to take care of that. This is about you and him. He's interested in bringing you into a closer relationship with him. So everything he's doing in your life is geared towards that purpose. So let's start with Satan. Let's talk about his goals. His goals are to do what his nature is, which is to deceive and accuse and lie. He's going to do that. To expect anything different is being unrealistic. He is not a soul that needs to be saved. He's not somebody to argue with because he's a liar. He is simply there for us to learn to defeat him. We start defeating him when we start looking at why we are vulnerable to his attacks. And where one of the main areas we talked last time we discussed this was we talked about the unhealed wounds. That where we have unhealed wounds, we are walking, we're using those crutches. We're believing lies in that area. Now, this is important. Where we believe a lie, the enemy has a legal right to interfere in your life. Where you believe a lie is where he can get in. And this is why one of the reasons Jesus could say, Satan has come to me and has found nothing in me. Because he knew the truth and was the truth. There was no shadow, there was no area in his life that was bound or restricted, where that life was restricted. He was receiving life from a father and giving it out. There was no hindrance in him. So there was truth fully in him. So the enemy There was no vulnerability there. That doesn't mean he wasn't tempted, and we'll get into that, but or bothered. But he knew, and I think that's probably the purpose of the fast in the wilderness, to be able to have that confidence that he knew that the enemy could do him no harm, that he was not vulnerable. He didn't have any weak spots. So again, where we believe a lie about ourselves, about God, about others, if it's a lie, we are vulnerable in that area. And that gives a legal right, Satan and his little buddies, to interfere in our life. Again, overcoming the enemy does not mean we will stop being vulnerable to temptation or accusation or any of the attacks of the enemy. But remember, being attacked, being tempted, does not mean anything. Because you're being attacked by the enemy doesn't mean anything. You have to ask God, why is this happening? And there's maybe times where he said, just ignore it. Being accused may not mean anything, may mean something. You have to ask. But remember, Jesus wasn't always tempted as we are. He was accused. He was lied about. But it's when you and I ascribe meaning to that temptation, to that accusation, that's when we enter deception. When we come up with the circumstance, the understanding on our own, without going to God first, we double down on our vulnerability. We make it worse. Even after Jesus persevered through that 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness, and even after Jesus triumphed over Satan, did Satan just give up? Hardly. Found other ways, other avenues to keep going after him, because that's what he does. He's like the Energizer evil bunny. It's his nature. It's what he does. He can't give up because it's what he is. Now, the same process will happen to us. So, just because you're being attacked or things are going on in your life that you determine are able to determine they're from the enemy doesn't mean anything. Except what the Lord says it means. You can't draw conclusions that you're missed God or that you're on the wrong path or anything. If Jesus was tempted and Jesus was accused, certainly you and I are not above that. So don't be concerned about it other than to go to the Lord about it. Lord, what's going on? And that's exactly what the response that the enemy hates, to go to God. But that's the great opportunity. And that's one of the ways God gets our attention, is puts us in situations that we don't know how to handle. Now, do remember that in the spiritual realm, which is, again, your spirit, soul, and body, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. If you're born again, you have a living spirit that functions completely in the spirit realm. That also functions over the soulical and over the natural, but it's not vice versa. The supernatural, the soulical realm, does not function in the spiritual realm. It just receives from it. And likewise, the natural realm does not function in the soulical, the supernatural realm, or the spiritual. It only receives from it. But just accept that we are going to be falsely or truly accused, and Satan is going to attempt everything he knows to distract us from what God has for us. It's not because we've made a mistake or because there's a big battle between God and Satan over us. No. Satan's a tool. Satan's part of God's circumstances in our life. And again, our first response is always, Lord, what's going on? So in the spiritual realm, Satan and his buddies have no influence or position. They're not part of the spiritual realm. But in the supernatural realm, and the soulical realm is part of that, they do continue to fulfill God's purpose in our lives by provoking our flesh, revealing where our wounds are so they can be healed, showing us the lies so God can speak truth. They serve a purpose. Then Satan's involvement in our lives gives us an opportunity to rule and reign in this lifetime, spiritually speaking, spiritually, soulically, and naturally. And one thing to remember, Satan is already conquered. He's done. His kingdom is gone. Why is he here? For us. The lion who seeks to devour our souls is released by God from his cage so that we can learn how to battle him. So how then does the enemy hinder our purpose now? The enemy comes at us from two perspectives. Either he will draw attention to himself and his purposes and distract us from our real purpose, the real issue, which is to know him, which is God dealing with us to bring us healing, or he draws attention away from himself to keep from being exposed and dealt with according to God's will in that situation. Either way, God will give you what you need in order to deal with the situation, and it's going to be a situational thing. Because no two battles are the same. Our weapons are the same, and often our enemies are the same. But the battles, you're going to have to fight your own battles. So you're going to have to learn how to use your weapons in the battles God sets you to. Our enemy can be overcome in God's timing and according to his purposes for our lives. So the enemy hinders us from our dependence on God only when we let him distract us, or if we ignore him and let him set up camp. So we spend too much time concerned about him, or not enough. This is not to say that Satan and his pals don't have power. They surely do. But the source of that power to deceive and destroy can be easily quenched by going to the root of his involvement in our lives in dealing with the source, which is most often a wound, believing a lie, living with rejection. When we deal with it, when we get healed, when God speaks truth to our lie and we accept it, the enemy's claim on us is removed. And with a word from the Lord, through us, he must flee. This is how we exercise authority over the enemy. This is one of the reasons the church has struggled so much with the demonic and sometimes even mental illness, physical illness, so many different kinds of issues that the Christian church, religious organizations can't deal with because they don't know how to deal with their own beliefs. They don't know how to get healed themselves. They don't know how to live as overcomers. And if you can't do that, you are vulnerable to the enemy. Let's stop just a second and talk about demonics in general. I said they do have power, and they absolutely do. And it's God-given power. God gave them power to do what he wanted them to do in this earth. And it varies greatly. And we're not going to get into demonology about how many different kinds or what levels or what they're accomplishing or, you know, their history or anything. That's not our purpose here. Instead, I want you to start thinking about demons as germs. Just like germs, they're living things. They have power and influence. But for the most part, we know how to deal with them. And sometimes there are surprises, and sometimes we have common germs, and then there are surprise germs, things that we need to pay a little bit more attention to. But all germs are living things. And all germs do what they were meant to do. Whether it's cause an illness, they cause an illness. Whether it's to whatever, do anything else, they do what they do. It's not personal. When we come into contact with them, that's our duty, is to know how to prevent coming into contact with germs, how to deal with it when we have come into contact with germs, and how to get rid of them if we get infected by germs. Now, germs only function on the physical level, but the strategy and the understanding applies in the soulical, the supernatural as well. Now, most of us, for instance, when you're out in your garden or you've just been cleaning your car, or even after work, or doing anything at any time of the day where you would using the restroom, what do? We wash our hands. Now, we can't see germs that we might have, but why do we wash our hands? Because there's a possibility that we came in contact with germs. And we understand in our minds that physically, if we don't get rid of the germs right away, they could cause problems later. And we understand that, and we have accepted that as part of our lives. When we have a cold, we wash our hands more often. When our children have colds, we don't pass them around to everybody in the world, spreading their colds to others, and we won't get into whether that's the right thing to do or not. But we understand the whole concept of germs, spreading them, getting rid of them, and we don't even think about it anymore. We don't go sneezing on people. We are careful and circumspect, we understand how germs function. Now, if there is we're getting these weird bacterial and viral strains popping up all over the world and some in this in the United States. And the more we learn about them, the more we can build our defenses. But in order to contract any of these diseases, we have to come in contact with them. And we have to be vulnerable. And then we have to not react, not give them the respect they're due. So when we think about germs, we don't take it personal that if we've been out digging in the garden, we realize, okay, we've got dirt all over our hands, maybe all over our bodies. We've been rolling around in the mud. We recognize we need to take a shower because there might be germs in the dirt besides just getting rid of the dirt. There might be bacteria. There might be viruses. There might be, you know, parasites, whatever. And we recognize we don't want them and that we have an opportunity and a responsibility to get rid of them. So do we, you know, expect other people to do that for us? Do we expect, okay, I've been out in the garden, I need to wash my hands. Is it some big, do we need to stop the presses? No, it's part of our lives. We accept. We wash our hands. Now there's argument about the best soap and how long and all these other things, and it's for another day. But for now, knowing that there are germs in the soil does not keep us from gardening. Knowing that there are germs in the world, in the air, when we come into contact, when we shake hands, most of us, not all of us, but most of us, understand how to deal with it. You know, if there's somebody who's got a cold, you just simply don't come in contact with them. If you already have, you know how to deal with it. And you simply incorporate those methods into your life. And these are how we deal with germs preventatively. And we start there. Just as learning to have confidence that we are hearing from him, from God clearly and accurately, we start dealing with the demonic enemies simply with understanding that they are living beings that God has left here, just like he has left germs, to do his bidding. And that we can incorporate into our lives a simple response by spending time with him every day and allowing him to bring to our attention any area where we have made ourselves vulnerable because of what we have come in contact with or an unhealed wound. Because guess what? Wounds, unhealed wounds, especially the longer they are unhealed, the more they become vulnerable to germs in the natural. It's the same in the solical. Your unhealed wounds that you may have even inherited could be festering and not only be vulnerable to demonic activity, but inviting it. For instance, anger and hatred that stem from an unhealed wound, from, for instance, childhood rejection, childhood, you know, mistreatment, or again, inherited. Unhealed, that draws demonic interference, and it's legal. And we'll deal with how to deal with that in another section. If you've got any questions, we're running out of time with this, but seriously, if you've got any questions specifically about that particular topic, if you've got an area where you're really struggling and you really want to be able to deal with it, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org, and I'll see if I can walk you through it. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. We'll get together again next week. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.